It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht, Paul Savage in for Tommy Kester on this Wednesday, on this Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. And we are ready to come at you live here, have some fun on the program, all kinds of good stuff, all kinds of football talk, all kinds of college basketball talk for you today. It is a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. If you're watching our video streams, Paul and I just don't miss with these fits. We just keep bringing it on these. It can be freezing cold, first freeze since March of last year. And we'll keep the tradition alive. I'm not sure if Max Power got in on the fun here today.
No, but he's got a colorful, very, very colorful sweatshirt on. And by the way, you notice I'm wearing it a little different because, see, this is how you free up with Hawaiian Wednesday. You know, doesn't have to be a balmy 86 degrees outside. Look, I've got long sleeve little sweatshirt underneath. I've unbuttoned it for the day. There's no rules in our rule book that says you got to button, right. So it's unbuttoned. I'm going to have some combinations in the future with my Hawaiian shirt that, you know, I just want everybody to understand this is a fashion statement. And if nothing else, you and I are, we're clothes hounds. You know, that's what we are.
Yep, I don't know what a clothes hound is, but we got that swag. You know, that's just how we roll. But, you know, we hope everybody out there is having fun even with the cold weather. Right. We've got all kinds of good stuff coming for you today. You can get in touch with the program on the IHOP hotline. That'll be open for you until about the bottom of the hour, 869-1240. It is brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. We'll give away some Wichita Thunder hockey tickets. It'll be the final day for that giveaway. We'll give away some HTO as well. All kinds of good stuff coming for you. We're excited about it. Shreya Slada, our KU insider, joins us bottom of the hour. We will look ahead, see if we think KU football can pick up its first win of the season. We'll also spend probably even more time with college hoops as KU is preseason number one. Big 12, historically good, according to that AP Top 25 poll. So we'll get into all of those things as well. Working on a few other things for you on the show as well. Should be fun. Paul, glad to be here with you. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm doing fine. By the way, later in the show, I got to tell a little story about HTO water. Is that okay with you if I do that later? And it's a fascinating story, and it's really cool.
Yeah, we'll do it when we're we're giving away some HTO later in the
program. Attaboy. Good for you.
Stay tuned for your opportunities to win that. So it was a big news day yesterday. We had the NFL in a trade frenzy, some blockbuster trades. So we'll go over that, and we'll really look at the Chiefs, though, as it pertains to them. Two of the teams that could be competitive with them, trying to get to a Super Bowl, make big moves, do the Chiefs need to follow? We'll have that. We'll have all this college hoops talk as well and a few other storylines as we make our way through. But let's start there, Paul. So the morning started for us with the Davante Adams trade. Literally happened right as we came on the air. And I think before we got off the air, right before Amari Cooper was traded. So Adams to the Jets, that one obviously makes sense for all the reasons. The Jets don't, you know, I think they probably made it a week too late. I don't think it's too late to try it. And they're obviously all in on this season. The Bills are a little bit more interesting. I don't think they're necessarily all in on this season over any other, but they needed help at the position. Amari Cooper's not doing the Browns any good right now. They're terrible at quarterback. They're not going to do anything with Deshaun Watson. So they get a decent return, honestly. Both teams get pretty good returns. I don't think either team overpaid. What did you think of those two moves? And did you agree, disagree, anything jump out to you? I agree. I think they were good moves for both teams.
I agree with you on that. There's no question about that. You know, one of the little side observations, I thought to myself, how would you like to be a Cleveland Brown fans right now? I mean, I don't think I'd like it very much. Basically, what the Cleveland Browns have said, we're done with this quarterback. I think we're done with this season. I don't think that anything good is going to happen. And they're probably right. It may not, but I don't think it will. But I didn't want to be a Browns fan yesterday. But with regards to the trades, listen, there's still hope for the Jets. I think the Jets are thinking to themselves, we need to do something. We've got to do something. We've got to do something for this team that gives us a chance to be a little more explosive. And when you make the case that the Jets are going to sign a receiver that has worked with their go-to quarterback, their Hall of Famer in waiting, and you look at the way they're handling this, I think they're saying, we're all in right now, right now. I don't care how old Rodgers is. I want to bring Davante Adams in, and we're going to make this season work. I kind of respect that. And you want to know something? I think that can work because with a quarterback, it can work. And with a quarterback of the experience and the abilities that you have in Aaron Rodgers, can't this work? Because I think it can. I think this was the trade. I think it was a little bigger than Amari Cooper going to the Bills. Because the Bills are still a good, solid football team. I mean,
I'm glad. I agree. But the Jets should have beat the Bills on Monday night.
Well, they should have. Should have, would have, could have. Could have, should have.
No, I know. I only say that to say I agree with you. And the Jets, when you fire Saleh and you bring Rodgers in to begin with, all your chips are on the table.
They are. They've done it.
And so I actually think that they're going, I you know, the decision to bring Rodgers there, we'll evaluate that further down the road. But with everything that's happening, like, you don't have a choice. And I applaud them for being aggressive and continuing to follow up on that decision. You know, for instance, the Cowboys, who Jerry Jones was also in the news yesterday. Yes, we can get into that later.
Oh, boy.
They're doing the opposite. That's why I think people are so frustrated, especially Cowboy fans. So the Jets say they're all in, and they're literally all in. They fired their coach. They're going to make a big trade to bring in Davante Adams. Like, they're going all in. The Cowboys, meanwhile, they kind of piddle fart around, you know, maybe we'll sign our best player, CeeDee Lamb. We're all in, but maybe we'll sign CeeDee Lamb. Maybe like we'll sign Dak. We won't bring anybody else in the offseason. We'll bring back the same coach who, you know, criminally underperforms in big moments for this team. But, yeah, you know, we're all in. And then we get mad when people, you know, challenge us about being all in. The Jets said they're all in, basically, and they're all in. And whether it works or it doesn't, at least they're trying, right?
Yeah.
I think the Bills are not in that same situation. The Bills aren't in some all in, it's all right now or nothing. They've got Josh Allen. They'll be in every year he's the quarterback, most likely. And so that's kind of how they came into this season. And I think, you know, I think they're more in than probably a lot of naysayers thought. I actually still believed in them, but I think they've got a chance to still be a good team. Mm-hmm. Now they bring in Amari Cooper. Does that make them a contender again? I don't think they ever were not a contender, but I think even if you thought that, it certainly does, because essentially you're swapping out Amari Cooper for Steph Diggs, and now the offense is that, and I think that's a pretty fair swap. So I and in a divisional race, and I don't know how much of it was reactionary to the Jets getting Adams, you just saw the Jets in a game, Paul, where everybody watching knows the Jets probably should have won that game. The Bills know that too. So you just saw that team, who you're going to be in a fight with the rest of the way in your division, make that move. I think that makes it even better to say, you know what? We got a chance to bring Cooper in here. We don't want the Jets catching us. Let's go ahead and make that move. Cooper comes in. I don't think it costs too much. And he's a talented receiver. So we get both of those teams making moves. And look, the Jets, you know, the Jets and the Steelers play this weekend. I kind of like the Jets in that game.
Right.
And they get the Patriots. They have the Cardinals on the schedule. They have the Colts on the schedule. The Dolphins, the Jags, the Rams, the Dolphins again, the Bills again. I think that the Jets, even though it has not gone all their way, and boy, they're going to look back at that Broncos loss and really hate it, but they've got a chance here to still make the postseason. And at this point, that's all they want to do. You want the postseason. You want Rodgers. Now he has, I mean, as far as skill players go, there probably aren't a lot of teams more loaded at this point now with Adams and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall than the Jets are. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's as good a top, you know, a top two receiver running back combination as the league has probably.
Right.
And so you like it. And the Bills, you know, they're just, they get a little bit better. Mm-hmm. They get a little bit better. And yeah, that may be enough with the Chiefs hobbled and wounded. That brings us into the next question, Paul. And let's pause here and we'll bring this back on the other side of the break.
All right.
So now the Chiefs sit here and they have seen two teams below them in the AFC get at least a little bit closer to them. Mm-hmm. Does that intensify their need to do anything now at the wide receiver position? We'll hold that thought. We'll come back. We'll discuss. You can discuss with us at 869-1240. You can also leave us your comments on our video stream where Jason leaves a comment about upside down pineapples on the Hawaiian shirts. I let everybody know last week that I learned that I have been wearing a shirt chock full of symbolism for years and years now that I did not realize. I did not realize what the upside down pineapple meant. I've been misrepresenting myself to a lot of people over the years. But no, not today. I think I only have that one shirt, Jason. And if you don't know what the upside down pineapple represents, you can go back and listen to last week's show on the Odyssey app, or you can just look it up. But it has been a misrepresentation for me. We'll leave it at that. But your calls, your comments, all welcome here on the program. Glad to be here with you on this Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. We'll have Sharia Slada coming up at the bottom of the hour. May have another guest. We're working on that for you coming at the top of the next hour. But a lot of good stuff coming. Max Power producing. It's all Brockton Savage at Sports Daily. We'll be right back.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage here with you on this Wednesday, a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Glad to be with you. So we set it up there in the first segment. Massive moves made to two AFC, we'll call them contenders. I think I'll call the Jets still a contender. I thought that was their best-looking offensive performance against the Bills, even in that loss. Again, they probably should have won. The Bills are certainly contenders when they have Josh Allen. The Chiefs are the top dog right now, and they're hobbled. They have injury after injury after injury, and it hasn't affected them. They're still unbeaten. They're not in any danger of missing the playoffs. But the question becomes, Paul, do they need to do anything to sort of not allow the other teams to make up any of that ground with the moves they just made? They were already going to be making calls on a wide receiver. I think a couple of interesting things have happened. In the last game that they played, Juju Smith-Schuster looked awesome. And what's interesting about that is Juju Smith-Schuster does fill the Rashee Rice role. Like, they, you know, he did that before they drafted Rice, and then Rice did it better. But Juju has done that for this team in the past. And remember, they also lost Hollywood Brown. They've got Xavier Worthy. Do they need to? And there are going to be big name receivers, I think, still on the move. The question becomes, do the Chiefs need to go get one? We can attack it two ways. Will they and do they need to? I think they don't necessarily need to, Paul, but I think that they should at least try. Because, I'll say the same thing, Rice misses this year. Rice is going to probably miss at least half of next year, too. And Hollywood Brown was kind of a one-year deal. If they can go find a receiver that gives them multiple years that they're able to, you know, trade and then sign, it does potentially solve a problem now and next year, when I think they're still going to be without Rashee Rice for a while, because at that point he should be serving his suspension. So I would say, yes, I think they should make a move. But I said that even before the trades yesterday. I don't think that adds to me like any intensity or pressure to do it, but I still think they should.
I think Kansas City has answered that question for you. And there's a certain fact that I think we can all see. I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but that is Kelce's being used a little differently than he's been used in the past. He's not that go-to guy. He's not that guy that is is the one dependable guy. I mean, he's dependable, but I mean, he's not that one. If you need a first down, you go to Kelce. He's not being used that way. And that tells me one thing, and that is that you've got to be better than you've been at wide receiver. So I guess in a roundabout way, I'm saying yes, you've got to get better at receiver. I wouldn't mind to see the Chiefs, you know, if they're going to improve, do something with receivers. Obviously, there's some things that I think this team can improve on, and that might allow Kelce to get a few more catches here and there and become that player that he has been in his prime. Maybe that's the fact that he just turned 35 has something to do with it. I don't know. But your question is, should the Chiefs do something? Yeah, I'd kind of like to see them do something. Do they need to give away the store to do it? No, they don't need to do that. But there's always good receivers in the NFL. All these guys, most of these guys that they're looking at could be an upgrade. I'm not saying they will be, but I would certainly look at it if I was the Chiefs. I wouldn't sit on anything if I were the Kansas City Chiefs. Would you?
Yes,
I know what you mean. I know what you were about to say.
I don't want them to overpay. So it's weird in the NFL. You know, like this year, we've seen this shift now where running backs are being valued high. They're having a bigger impact. And, you know, receivers seem to be more of a, I don't want to say a dime a dozen, but there are more of them. So here's what I don't think the Chiefs need to do. Put themselves in a situation where they're paying a bunch of money, a bunch of their salary cap to a wide receiver. That I would not do.
Well, I didn't say that.
What I would do, though, is not be afraid to trade draft capital for a receiver. So, you know, like the Chiefs have made it pretty clear with Tyreek Hill and, you know, they don't want to pay a receiver. They don't want to pay a big time receiver, that kind of contract. That's not how they want to construct their salary. They're more concerned with obviously Mahomes, and they're more concerned with their offensive and defensive lines. And so, and I agree with that, by the way.
I do too.
I think Mahomes helps raise everybody up. What's been remarkable about this season to me is, despite all these injuries, they are still finding a way to be effective. That was their best offensive game last week. Their first game that they played without, you know, all of their weapons, basically. I guess it wasn't their first, but you know what I mean. And so I don't think that means they don't try to get better. Of course they do. But I still don't think they changed the philosophy of, we don't want to invest a bunch of our salary cap into wide receiver. So I think they can still get better. I think they can do it and avoid the hit on the cap that they've always wanted to avoid. And then I think they can just move on with their lives. This week's game will tell us a lot. You know, they get to play the 49ers. They're not going to make a move that'll be before then. The trade deadline, let me just make sure I have the date right, is November 5th. So that would be right after the final game of week 9. We are entering week 7 right now. So they still have a little time to evaluate. They weren't going to get Davante Adams anyway, probably not going to get Amari Cooper, although that one's interesting to think about. So they've got some time to evaluate it. And I think we'll know if in week 9, the offense chugs and looks as good as it did the last time we saw it, then maybe they don't need to go get anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they do have enough. Maybe Juju does fill the void and he's consistent. That's what I would evaluate as much as anything else, mm-hmm. is Juju Smith-Schuster. Mm-hmm. But you also got to remember, Paul, depth matters. And what if Juju, who's older, gets hurt? Then what do you do?
Right.
Right. Do they feel good? So, you know, even if it's just a smaller depth piece, I saw, and Tommy sent this to me yesterday, and he's not the first person. 3 or 4 people asked me this. What about Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who the Bills cut to make room? And I would say I think that makes no sense for the Chiefs to bring him back. I know they love the reunion tour, but he was good for one thing, a deep ball. He wasn't that good at it, and now they have Xavier Worthy. I would not bring back MVS. I don't think stylistically that's what they need at all. Mm-hmm. They need to go find somebody that can fill that target hog role. Now, even if Juju's that guy, what happens if he gets hurt? Mm-hmm. I think you have to have a backup plan there. You have to have somebody in place that Mahomes can pepper with targets if he needs to within a game that's not a tight end.
Right. And, of course, Mahomes is your key here. I mean, Mahomes elevates all around him, everyone around him. He makes them better. So some of the guys that you might think to yourself, well, would they be a good addition to the Browns? Probably not, but they might be a good addition to the Chiefs because there's certain things that Mahomes brings to this team, and one of them is elevating those around him. By the way, I loved your comment with regards to running backs. You're exactly right with running backs. And, I mean, and by the way, every running back that is going to sign a contract for rest of the year or for next year can thank Derrick Henry for that. You can thank him because
it's the way that offenses are operating now.
But I mean,
it's just Derrick Henry. Look at the way defenses are playing.
That's
all
right.
The natural ebbs and flows of the NFL. Now everyone's going too high safety. Oh, okay. Well, we'll run the ball again.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel the change, and you are too. You're starting to see that high safety, run the ball, bring the safety down into the box, closer into the box.
Throw the ball again.
Throw the ball over the defense. Sure, that's the just Chief,
the Chiefs have always been at the forefront of this, Paul, since the Tampa Bay Super Bowl loss. That was the first time we saw the deep safeties, and it gave Mahomes fits. They began to adjust the next year. You know, I don't know if all teams then started, but we saw last year defenses pretty universally started to do that. And then at the beginning of this year with the suppressed quarterback numbers, well, teams are starting to run the ball. And what are we seeing now? The reaction, all of a sudden quarterback's numbers are getting better because defense have to try to stop the run again.
Right.
I mean, the NFL's always been that way.
Well, and of course the nature of football, as we've talked in the past, the nature of football is to run the football. If you can run the football, you can do a lot of things. If you just throw the football, you're limited to a certain amount of things that you can do on a football field. But if you can run the football, you can do anything. You can throw the football, you can run the football, you can do whatever you want to do with the football. If you can run the football and run it with success. So anyway, I love that comment because you're exactly right. Shows an insight into the actual game that I appreciate. But with that being said, the Kansas City Chiefs are that team that is looking for to tweak things. I mean, you know, you're right now you're undefeated. Now, granted, I know a lot of those wins were close. A lot of those wins were by a single point. A lot of those games could have come down to whoever had the ball last. A couple of those games, that's just the way it was. But that's what great football teams do, isn't it?
And it's further reason not to sit on your hands.
That's right.
Like, don't – you have that advantage now. Don't lose that advantage.
Right. But
don't lose that razor-thin edge.
But we never know. And when I say we, I mean any NFL football franchise never knows who's going to get hurt. Who's going to be able to play next week? You never
100%. That's why I think even if Juju over the next 2 weeks proves to be that guy, which I think is a pretty good possibility, actually.
Right.
Then at that point, you still need something to provide depth because he's an older player and guys are getting hurt right and left. So, you know, it's almost more about that than anything else to me. Well, what about if Juju gets hurt? Then what do they do? Right. And that might be like, well, my gosh, you know, but that's the reality of football now.
Well,
and it's been the reality of this Chiefs season.
Yeah.
So, and they're not going to sit on their hands. Yeah. They're not. There's no chance. They're not looking to make moves now, especially after yesterday.
Yeah.
There's no chance. The market was just set for them. You know, the market was just set. Now they know they can go get a frontline receiver for a second round pick. Now, don't count that out either, right? Don't count that out either. 869-1240. We'll get more into this, but not today. That's all right. We've got KU football talk, KU basketball talk coming with Shreya Slaughter here in this segment. And just a quick programming note, joining us at the top of the next hour, Corey Washington, Shocker basketball player. So just confirm that. We'll get him on the line and get him into the show. Looking forward to that conversation. Want to say thank you to Prayer Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here at KFH, primed and ready to go. We'll give away still some Wichita Thunder hockey tickets and some HTO as well over the next hour and change. Shreyas, welcome in. How are you this morning?
Good, cold, and that is why I'm not wearing a Hawaiian shirt today. I woke up, looked at it. It was 34 degrees. I was like, Jesus, I should probably turn off the AC.
Yeah,
and switch to heat because it's getting that time of the year.
I just had our guy, our tech to do the heater checks and all that stuff. So I guess it is that time. We had to flip ours on two nights ago. We finally caved and put it on. Okay, let's start with football, and we do want to talk college hoops just real quick because I don't even know how much people are interested in this one. KU is a 6.5-point favorite at home against Houston. I'm pretty surprised by that. But you can't win your first until you win your first. So, you know, how do you feel about this one against Houston? How does this one line up for you?
Well, I think, you know, you look at this game and you look at the way Houston is, they just benched their quarterback against TCU and they started a backup and he did a decent job, put up 150 yards passing and 90 yards on the ground. You know, there's a little uncertainty on what you're going to see from the Houston offense. They're struggling all year offensively, only averaging about 13 points per game. And I look at the schedule and honestly, if KU doesn't win this game, I don't know where they win the rest of the year. We've gotten to that point, and just because the rest of the schedule is now filled with teams that are in the top 25. You know, every point of that is an upset. So I think KU being 6.5-point favorites isn't super surprising, you know, because I don't think this Houston Cougars team is particularly good. But, you know, what we've seen from Kansas football so far isn't particularly good either. You know, I think I would give the edge to Kansas, but, you know, until, like you said, until they win, I can't sit there and tell you definitively that I believe in Kansas Jayhawks football because they haven't won a game in over a month.
I think, you know, in reality, it's more about until they close and finish a game. They should have a lot of wins this year that they don't have. I thought the last game was the best performance by Jalen Daniels, and you know, however you want to look at it, by Grimes. You know, I thought it was both of their best performances. It still wasn't enough to get the win, but have you had any feel or any indication that there has been progress and there may be a groove forming between those two in the offense?
Yeah, I think so. I talked to Lance Leipold about it Monday. I asked him in the press conference and it's like, hey, I think this was the best performance that Jalen has had all year. And Lance agreed. And he said, you know, he did a lot of things that Jalen of the old did, you know, like we've seen that, you know, intermediate throw range where I've talked about a few times where he's excelled at through the years. He had a couple of really nice passes there. He had a nice couple of rollouts, I think, you know, where they gave him some space to kind of get up and kind of survey the field. Overall, I was really impressed with Jalen in a game where there's a lot to kind of be disappointed by if you're a KU fan. You know, I think, you know, obviously they didn't win the game, and you've talked about it, closing games is the biggest issue with this program, but you know, whatever way you win or lose at this point, you know, you're halfway through the season. I'm not going to make excuses for Kansas anymore because, you know, like they are what they are. Either they turn around and switch after this bye week or they're out of bowl contention after this week. So, you know, you're sitting at a very dangerous situation if you're the Jayhawks. And, you know, I think that 100% starts with getting right on Saturday with a Jalen Daniels performance similar to what it was 2 weeks ago.
I have a fear. I have a fear, and I'm going to tell you what that fear is. It's the what if. What happens if. What if KU loses to Houston? What happens with the fans? What happens with the players? What happens with the coaches? That's a big question, what if. This is Houston. You should win. But if you don't win, what happens to those three groups? Coaches, players, fans. What happens with them?
You know, I think it's a really good question, and I've been thinking about that. What happens if they lose Saturday? You know, because we're constantly asking ourselves what happens. I think, you know, fans are going to tune out. Basketball season starts in about 2 weeks. I think there's a lot of excitement around this team. Preseason, number one. You know, at the end of the day, this is a college basketball school, no matter what anyone tells you. You know, they get up for college basketball, and as they should. You know, the players, I think at that point, you know, it's, you know, what are they playing for? Anything besides pride. You're playing for pride at that point and just trying to turn the season around to a respectable margin. And the coaching staff, I don't expect any changes in you know, like the immediate future. I think if they're going to make any changes, it would have been at the bye week, right? Kate Lance, typically, historically, if you look at his programs he's coached, he's not one to let go of his coaches. And if he does let go, it usually happens in the offseason. So, you know, if they go out there and lose to Houston and don't win a game the rest of the year, yeah, I anticipate changes, but I think it would be at the end of the year, not midway through.
Shreyas, let's talk basketball. Football plays this weekend. It's all out there, 2:30. We'll see if they can get it done. Basketball is a much chippier topic right now. And Ken asks, and I think this is a good way to start, should the Jayhawks be ranked number one when they couldn't defend the three last year? They don't have a rim protector and they lost their best defender. So I think you can just start it that way. I think they should be ranked number one in a preseason poll, which means less than ever just because we know the most about them of those teams. But how would you assess how they have addressed some of those big needs from last year? You know, the 3-point line on both sides, a rim protector. You know, even though McCullough's availability was a major issue, they do need to replace him as a defender out there.
You know, I think that conversation of whether they are ranked number one or ranked whatever in the poll, no offense to my other fellow writers or what on the AP poll, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I don't care about it. I don't think it matters. In grand scheme of things, it's just another poll that you see at the end of the week because to see how the progress is. We have no idea how good these teams are until they play basketball. You know, I think on paper, Kansas has done a tremendous job of addressing the shooting concerns. They brought in AJ Store, who can hoot it from deep. Shaquille Moore is a decent shooter. David Coit is a guy who shoots really well from deep. You know, they brought in a rim protector in Floyd Pendenga. I was talking to a lot of his teammates at Media Day, and they were impressed. Rylan Griffin told me he might be the best rim protector he's seen in his time in college basketball. And this is a guy that played multiple games, played 2 years at Alabama, including a team that had Brandon Miller and some other teams. You know, and on paper, this Kansas team is as locked and loaded as it's been in the 2 years that I've covered the beat. They are very deep. Obviously, it doesn't really matter because we said the same thing last year and we saw how it played out. I think on paper, this team looks to be more oriented or play a lot of different ways. And, you know, Bill Self talked about it on Media Day that one of the best things this team has is it's not one-dimensional in the way they play. I think last year you knew clearly they can't shoot a three ball. And I looked at the numbers again last year. It was like opponents were shooting, I think, making 8-point-something threes per game, and Kansas was making 4.9. You can't win modern basketball games. At the end of the day, sometimes it's just a math equation. And, you know, I think the math equation favors KU this year more than other years because they went out there and they've reloaded the wagons, as Kansas fans would say. And I think they've gone out there and done a tremendous job of surrounding Hunter Dickinson and DeJuan Harris with, you know, shooters, surrounding them with guys who can go out there and score the ball, you know, from all different levels. And Zeke Mayo is another guy that I'm really excited to see. I mean, Self is kind of, you know, really lauded about his performance this summer, talked about how he's been the best player they've had for most of the summer. He's kind of fell off a little bit this past bit, but he said he's looked good overall. You know, this Kansas team looks to be much better than last year. Number one team in the country. I subscribe to the belief that I have no idea. But number two, you know, if I was voting the AP poll, I'd pick UConn just because they won the national championship, right? You know, I know they're reloaded or whatever, but until they lose in a devastating fashion,
It's impossible for us to follow the portal for every team. And no, I agree with you. It doesn't matter for KU. It doesn't matter for UConn. It matters for teams like Wichita State, who we follow, who, you know, those preseason expectations will be a factor into their non-con. But for KU, and it follows right into the Big 12 question. Historic. 5 teams in the top 10 out of the Big 12. I think it's 8 inside what would be the top 40. This league is ridiculous. It's like the SEC for football. But if you're KU, the chances to win the Big 12, this conference is insanity. And you look at it and it's like, okay, are they going to put 10 Big 12 teams in this year? I mean, it's a bigger conference, so maybe they do. But I cannot wait for conference basketball. We've never seen anything like this.
It's a locked and loaded conference from top to bottom. I think, you know, even the bottom of the conference could probably be in the middle of the pack for a lot of other conferences. Oh, yeah. That's what's going to happen. And, you know, I think that's the best possible thing. If you're a KU fan, you'll know within the first 10, 15 games, where this KU's team at, where this KU team is overall, how they match up against some of the best teams in the country in or out of the conference. And, you know, I think, remember last year, by January, if you were a KU fan or if you followed KU basketball at all, you kind of knew this team wasn't good enough to be making a deep run in March unless a lot of things went right. And I think that for this KU team, we'll know. We'll know because they play teams like UNC, they play Duke, you know, they're going to play Creighton. You know, they're going to play a lot of really good teams. And teams that are, you know, going to give them, I think, a fight in every game. I mean, Creighton, for God's sake, is favored against them, according to KenPom. I mean, that's a game to watch out for. And, you know, I just look at this KU team, and I think this could be the best team that I've covered in my 2 years ish on the beat. It'll be 2 years in November. We don't know that, right? Things change. People underperform or overperform. And I think the biggest thing is we need to figure out where they're at, just playstyle wise, maybe 5-10 games into the season.
You know, we live in a world where in college sports, football still is kind of like the king. And you see the SEC and you see the Big Ten trying to schedule their non-conference games with each other, basically trying to shut out the rest of the conferences in the country. They're scheduling between themselves, and there's an effort to do that. Does basketball, with the fact that you've got 5 or 6 teams in the top 10, 12, whatever it is, 5 really good teams in the top 10, I'll put it that way, in the Big 12, does that help keep the Big 12 in the hunt for, you know, college superiority on the football side? Because we all know, I hate to say this, football's king. It's going to be king. It's going to stay king. You know, the king is not dead. The king is alive and well in football. What does basketball do for the Big 12 to try to keep them in the hunt with regards to being those conferences that make a difference other than the Big 12, the Big 10 and the SEC? By the way, and when you look at the SEC, they're making an effort towards basketball with Arkansas offering their new head coach $13 million in NIL money for players alone. $13 million. Those kids are going to be millionaires before they leave the University of Arkansas. They're making a push. What about the Big 12 and the overall big picture of where we're at?
You know, I think that's a really good question, because we look at it, the national relevancy of the conference revolve around the Big 12 being the best basketball conference by far. The minute the Big 12 loses that, the minute that's, you know, I think it's over for the conference of relevancy. And I mean, like, we can clearly say right now the Big 12 is the best basketball conference and they're third in football. But the minute they're second and third, I think, you know, it's danger territory, because we're moving towards, you know, a super conference between those two conferences. And I'm a Georgia grad and a Georgia fan. I mean, like, they've put a lot more into basketball this past year than they have since the Tom Crean years. And, you know, like, I'm excited for this team that they might finish top half the conference or the bottom half as usual. And that's just one team. And I think the conference knows that there is some, both conferences know that, you know, football is king, and the Big 12 knows that too. And, but I think there's something to be said about having a conference that is so dominant in basketball. You know, I don't think there's any conference that really comes close in kind of the feel around it. You know, the only conference I think comes around the competitiveness aspect of it was the Big East. And I covered, you know, UConn for a year, and those rivalries kind of run deep because of all the, you know, religious ties and this and that. But, you know, the Big East has their own issues. They don't have a football. Most of those programs don't have football teams. So, no, I think the moment Big 12 squanders the lead that they have on basketball, then Brett Yormark and the rest of his, you know, ADs around the conference know they're in trouble. So I think as big as they can build that gap, they should build it. I think that's why they should have come out there and got Gonzaga. It doesn't matter if they would have helped them in any other sport, but being the best by far conference in basketball has some value to it. And I think it, as long as you can keep that, the Big 12 staves off the football is king super conference.
They're gonna separately negotiate the Big 12 basketball contract. Just wait, it's happening. The Pac 12 is doing the same thing. That's why they did get Gonzaga, and they're poaching. They're trying to position themselves as a basketball league too. It's going to happen in the next round. We're going to see separate contracts. I really do believe that. That's how you combat what's happening in football. Shreyas, we appreciate it. What do you guys have going for us at the Star this week?
Yeah, I'll probably have a story sometime later this week. I talked and sat down with Elmarco Jackson about his rehab process and talking about what he's been doing and what he's not been doing, and, you know, kind of what that looks like. Also, we'll have typical football coverage. We'll have my film breakdown with Carter Stanley about, you know, what Jalen Daniels did right against Arizona State. And, you know, it should be a fun week, a busy week. We've got Late Night in the Fog Friday, Houston, KU Saturday, and busy week overall. If you're a KU fan, a busy week for me.
Yeah. It'll be, maybe we can get that win. Boy, it'd be nice. Be nice to get a little buzz going before that Sunflower Showdown. Trias, you can follow his work at the Kansas City Star. Follow him on social media. We appreciate it. Thanks for being on. Next week, we'll see that Hawaiian, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
There goes Trias Lotta. On our way out, let's give away our Wichita Thunder hockey tickets. This will be your last chance here today. Thunder hockey back in the home opener versus Kansas City is on Friday, October 18th. KFH wants to hook you up with your opportunity to get that right now. Just text the keyword Thunder to the number 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets from KFH. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Corey Washington, new Shocker. They get a preseason ranking. We'll talk to him about our first opportunity to meet the new Shocker. We'll do that next on Sports Daily.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.